shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
I take phone calls all the time. Took phone calls with.
I'm proud to be here with people willing to stand up. I'm proud to be here with people.
Wrestling is a combat sport, and it gets violent at times.
Barack Obama's natural inclination is caution. That's often very good in a diplomat.
It's a G, you stupid.
It sounds racist to me.
You're fired.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Taking it places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They won't. They shan't. Our number is 877-876-7445. And, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. And the better news is it's Thursday. Thursday, baby.
Why, that ain't Friday.
It ain't Friday, but it ain't Wednesday.
That's true.
It ain't Wednesday, so welcome to our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, and a number of things to talk about here this evening. I found out some things today. Well, it's media stuff, so I don't think we should really talk about it, but one of the things that I did find out, and this is something that I need to report to you, that while we are a cut above in terms of the entertainment value of the show, in terms of where we take this show and what we do with the show, we're a cut above. Shows that are purely conservative in their thrust. In other words, this has got nothing to do with, I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that shows that are purely conservative philosophically in their presentation. Say just, I'm a conservative host.
Yeah, like Rush Limbaugh.
No, not necessarily like Rush Limbaugh, but other shows. They're losing audience. They're losing audience, they're losing money, and we've had a talk radio environment that's been basically conservative radio for a long time, which I'm not complaining about, but I'm just giving you the lay of the land here, you understand?
What are you saying? You're saying they're no good?
I'm telling you that two-thirds to 90% of the shows you listen to that are conservative shows are not making the money you think they're making, they don't have the audience you think they have, and they're not doing as well as one would have you believe. So when we say that we are a radio for patriots by patriots, we're not just here because we decided this is the way to go. This is the organic reality of this show, bringing you the kinds of quality guests that we bring you and the kinds of quality conversations that we get into. Dean Wheeler on tasers. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Especially talking about how he tased his wife, a dog, and his gardener all on the same day.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
What do you laugh about?
What am I laughing at? The guy tased a dog, his wife, and a gardener all in the same day just to let us know that it's dangerous.
I thought that guy was nuts.
Did you? Well, I think you're onto something there, man. Wow. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL is our number. The Delaware Supreme Court overturned a ruling that found a cinema operator to be racist for telling a crowd of largely black patrons to silence their phones or remain quiet during a film. What the hell is this about, Robert? I ask you because you're the token. I mean, you're a black guy.
Yeah.
The Delaware Supreme Court overturned a decision by the State Human Relations Commission.
Well, we like talking in the movies. A lot of black people like to talk in the movie.
No, I know that. I understand that. But they're saying that when he asked the people to turn off their phones and to shut up or whatever he said, he did it in a condescending tone and telling a crowd of largely black patrons viewing a Tyler Perry movie to silence their cell phones and remain quiet. The commission also ordered the Carmichael 14 Theater to pay nearly $80,000 for violating the Delaware Equal Accommodations Law after it determined in October 2007 announcement, which was not regularly made in that way in other theaters, insulted, humiliated, and demeaned patrons in that manager David Stewart had singled out a black audience at a minority-themed movie. So tell me about this.
Well, I mean, black people talk in movies, and black people will talk to the screen, we talk to each other, right? And that's how we are. And so, and then people went in to see a minority movie, you know. And
there must have been a couple of white folks in there. What do you mean black people talk in the theater? What does that mean?
Black people sometimes talk in the theater.
All right. Well, in any event, this was a point of contention, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court of the state of Delaware. The Supreme Court found they tossed out that finding. And the fine late last week, ruling there was no racist language in the announcement, no specific group was singled out, and the non-racial explanation for the announcement, that it was part of a since-discontinued company policy at sold-out shows to ensure that all patrons would enjoy the movie, was reasonable. What does that mean?
I don't know.
For the announcement that it was part of a since-discontinued company policy at sold-out shows to ensure that all patrons would enjoy the... Oh, making an announcement.
Yeah, when a movie's sold out, then a guy's going to go up there and tell you to shut up.
He ain't going to go up and tell you to shut up, okay?
Well, you know.
Why are you yelling, man?
So you can hear me?
I can hear you, man.
All right, shut up. So the Supreme Court tossed this out. They said, oh, get out of here with his horse dung. Because the guy went up in front of these people, although they're all black, and he said, you know, please keep your big black mouth. Oh, he didn't say that.
No, if he'd have said that, then they would have might have had a problem, you know, had a situation.
No, he just said, please shut up. They thought he was rude, but there was nothing in the language. And if you interpret a man's manner, you're getting into some, you know, and maybe he was being a jackball. I don't know. But the fact remains, he didn't do specifically anything or say specifically anything racist. It was not a policy that was applied to African-American patrons solely. It was a policy that was applied to all patrons, regardless, in sold-out shows. The court also noted that the then-director of the office, the State Office of Human Relations, was in the crowd that night, announced to the theater that she was offended and organized patrons to file a complaint. So the court then noted that a state official encouraged people to file this complaint, meaning she might have prejudiced this audience.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody would have filed a complaint, but that lady was there, and as a result, that's what they did. But why would she say that?
Well, she might say it. She might say it, and maybe she doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground. I mean, she's the she's with the Office of Human Relations, but she's not the Attorney General. She sure as hell isn't a judge. The incident happened on October the 12th, 2007. At the sold-out 7:15 p.m. showing of the movie Why Did I Get Married, where the cinema was showing the picture in three theaters simultaneously. The warning about cell phones was shown on the screen and then was delivered in person in the largest of the three auditoriums by Mr. Stewart, according to court papers. Some patrons later said Stewart's tone was offensive and condescending, as if he were speaking to children.
Well, they were black.
That's true, they were black.
Shut up, man.
He's kidding around.
Why do you get so upset? You know I'm kidding.
I don't make any jokes about white people.
Well, maybe you ought to start. You know.
I just know what I do.
Well, that's what he does, so...
I don't like him doing it.
I'm kidding around. What difference does it make?
I don't like you doing it.
Look, and I'll make the decisions here on who's doing what. You mind? In the words of Tommy Lasorda, I'll make the decisions, huh? Okay, I'm the manager of the team, and I'll make the decisions, okay? If this was yesterday, that's a different day. Okay, I can't let you out on a game like this. We're down 2-1. There's 4 hits up there.
That's Tommy Lasorda in the World Series.
Exactly.
I got that tape.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, but I got a good clean copy of it.
Well, that's, yeah, then you've got something better than I, because the copy I got ain't that all that clean, although I think you took my copy. Anyway, to make a long story short, so the court turned it over. And then they went home and they turned their wives over. No, the Supreme Court said, they noted that immediately after someone complained to Stewart, he returned to the theater, he apologized, he explained the announcement was company policy, realizing the crowd was upset. He also waited at the exit door after the movie to thank patrons for attending. So Mr. Stewart was, I don't see how this guy did anything wrong. Stewart later explained that there was extra security that night because of a recent robbery at the theater, and that night he had asked one of the security officers to check ticket stubs to help direct patrons to the correct theater since the movie was being shown on 3 screens. One person in the theater who stood up and announced her opinion that the manager's actions were racist was Juana Fuentes Bowles, then the director of the state's Human Relations Division, according to the ruling. Fuente Bowles, who apparently did not announce her title, but said she was an attorney or someone who worked for an attorney, then collected names and phone numbers of patrons who were offended. A division employee then called patrons and organized a meeting, including Fuente Bowles. Oh, boy. Now, Fuente Bowles also initially signed on to the complaint with 33 others, but
Uh-oh.
She later took her name off it so she would not be a distraction. Is that right? Well, Miss Fuente Bowles might have taken her name off because she realized she was Tina Fuente Jack Bowles.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a smart move.
In 2008, a three-member panel of the commission said, get this crap out of here. He's guilty. He's a racist piece of garbage. The commission then awarded each of the people who complained $1,500 in damages. Sounds cheap to me. Fined the cinema $5,000. Blah, blah. Well, look at this chicken crap. Look at his stuff.
Yeah, but you understand, man. It goes back a lot of years in this country.
Yeah, but what do you mean goes back a lot of years and everything?
It goes back a lot of years. Black people being disrespected. Black people being talked to. Black people being, what would you say to me the other day? You know?
About the soldiers?
Yeah. Even that there right there is worth, like, I don't know how many lawsuits.
Well, you know something? I will tell you. When I read about American black soldiers, see, I used to talk to Robert. I read about American black soldiers in World War II who would have to sit in the back of the movie theater, you know, and German POWs that were transported back here to America, you know?
Uh-uh.
They took Germans that were prisoners, and they transported them back to the States.
Like in a POW camp.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And anyway, these jackasses, these Germans, got to go out on Saturday night or whatever the hell, and they'd go into town, and they'd watch a movie. They'd have an armed guard with them, but they'd watch a movie. And the black GIs would have to sit in the back. Now that's just flat wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so all that stuff, man. No wonder people are hypersensitive about things.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But do you agree with this ruling?
I sort of do, but still, I think people blow this stuff off, you know?
Well, look. You know, I think that's a disgrace. I agree with this ruling. A woman standing up in the theater and going, this is racist, and I'm an attorney, and you guys go ahead and... I think she sort of buffaloed people and got everybody excited over something that they weren't really sure. And while his tone might have been this or that, there was nothing in what he said, nothing in the announcement, nothing in his manner, thanking the people. He tried to take steps in case anybody was upset. And then the lady that got him all jazzed up, she splits and she says, I don't want to be a part of this. So the whole thing is bogus, you know.
Well, I don't think it's bogus, but she probably figured out it wasn't real.
But I understand what you're saying, that there's been a lot of indignities, that will never be addressed. Never be addressed. You know that.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Like what?
Well, like you never even heard of what we were just talking about now, man, where German POWs get to sit in the movie theater and the black GIs are in the back. That kind of stuff is a disgrace. That's a disgrace. And I can only say this. You know, if it were you and me and it was a modern thinking American thing, maybe we would have said something, but that you know, people back then didn't say anything. People back then just went, well, you know, that's the way it is. What'd you see? Didn't you see that movie?
Yeah, that was Miracle of St. Anna.
Miracle of St. Anna. They've got a scene in Miracle of St. Anna that's kind of a cool scene. I don't know if it ever really happened, but these black GIs are in Texas or wherever their camp is, and it's before they go to Italy. And they go down to this ice cream shop, and they go in because they've won some kind of a ice cream sundae, you know?
Yeah.
And so he goes and he says, you know, we'll take four. Here is my little ticket. I win. And the guy is a redneck, and he goes, all right, you blankety blanks, you all get outside. I'll bring you your Slurpees around to the side or some crap like that.
They weren't Slurpees.
No, they weren't Slurpees. And they look over, and they see these four German POWs that are eating ice cream with these guards sitting right there. And so the guy says to them, you know, how come you're feeding Hitler? That's what they say. How come you're feeding Hitler? How come Hitler gets to eat in here and we don't? And then the guy, the redneck, pulls a gun on him. So they split, and they're humiliated. And they get about 200 yards down the road.
Oh, yeah, you talked about this. That's pretty good.
They get 200 yards down the road, and then they swing the Jeep back around, and you know this is going to be good. And they head right back to the ice cream place, and this time they walk in with their sidearms drawn, and they tell this guy, we'll take our ice cream now, and make sure you wash your hands, because we're not sure what you were doing with those Germans before we came. I mean, he really just laid it on them.
Yeah, well, that's in a movie, man. You know, if they did that in real life, they would have taken them out and lynched them.
Yeah, it could be, man. It could be, you know. But I know that the movie, the St. Anna's movie was, well, some of it was true. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. A teen wrestler who refused to fight a girl speaks out about his decision. This is a story that Jason wants us to talk about because he's into wrestlers. Plus, Obama condemns the violence in Libya, but even his cheerleader, Chris Matthews, wasn't impressed with the speech. PhilHenryShow.com for a best of CDs, shot glasses, blogs, videocasts, podcasts, and more. We'll be back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here on our News Hour, and this is a story. We got into a debate about this. This is a young man named Joel Northrup, a wrestler. He's a high school wrestler in Iowa. And what he did was he was scheduled for a wrestling match. He was pitted against another wrestler who happened to be a 14-year-old girl. He's 15, she's 14. He's a 15-year-old boy, she's a 14-year-old girl. His name's Joel, her name Cassandra Herkelman, one of two girls to ever qualify for the state finals in its 85-year history. So they're in the tournament. He's ranked fifth in his weight class. He's pretty good. He refused to compete against his female opponent and forfeited the match, citing, listen to this, personal and religious reasons.
Yeah, all right, so how can you say you support the guy when you're always saying religion interfere?
Yeah, that was the part that I didn't get, and you're saying about religion and everything.
All right, think about it for a minute. Don't I say that religion shouldn't interfere?
Yeah.
All right, religion didn't interfere. This kid did something that none of those other jackasses ever do.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, he decided that, you know what, I don't want my religion to be an issue. I won't wrestle her because of religious reasons, but I don't want my religion to be an issue here, so I am going to drop out. I forfeit. She wins. He doesn't interfere with the tournament. The tournament goes on. He's forfeited because of his religious reasons. So what he's basically said is, I have a religion, but I realize that I'm in a public institution here, and so I don't want my religion to intrude necessarily on the process of this athletic event, and at the same time, I don't want to compromise my beliefs, so I will forfeit the match. I will retire from the tournament.
I don't get it.
Oh, come on, man. What's not to get?
I sort of get what you're saying. In other words, he didn't mess up the tournament.
He didn't mess the tournament up. He didn't change anything.
What about when you're always talking about a Muslim and his feet?
What about a Muslim and his feet, bud? Why don't you spit it out, man?
You know, about washing his feet in a drinking fountain.
Yeah.
Washing his feet in a drinking fountain? You mean to talk about the guys that stop down on the assembly line to wash their feet and do the prayers?
Yeah.
See, what I'm saying is any religious practice that interferes with causes the rest of us to have to change our work habits, to have to change the normal commerce in the middle of a day, I find that to be an intrusion into my life of religion. But when a guy says, I have a religion too, and this is something that, you know, is a drag, I can't do this, but I'm not going to tell you to shut down the tournament. I'm not going to tell you to disqualify the girl. I'm not going to tell you, I want another opponent. I am going to recognize that in this instance, I will observe my religious beliefs. I will drop out of the tournament, thus allowing the tournament to continue. The girl can go on and, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of okay, but what about that lady?
You talk about the woman reporter. There was a woman reporter. Is this Erica Hill you're talking about, Jason? Let's listen to some of these cuts here. We have in an interview with Erica Hill on CBS's The Morning Show. I think it's what it was. Yeah. In this interview with Erica Hill on CBS's The Morning Show, Erica Hill used to be with, what's his ass there, Anderson Cooper, the guy that got, quote-unquote, beat up. Anyway, the early show, here is Joel Northrup explaining why he wouldn't fight Cassandra Herkelman.
Wrestling is a combat sport, and it gets violent at times, and you get put in compromising holds and positions, and I just don't feel it's right that a boy should engage a girl in a manner like this. I mean, she deserves to be out there, but I do believe that if she does wrestle, she should wrestle other girls, and I should wrestle other boys.
Now, Erica Hill wonders if Northrop was being unfair to the female wrestler and cheating her out of an opportunity. What opportunity is that, Erica, to lose?
Well, it's kind of a tough situation. I don't believe so. I mean, I just had to stick to my convictions. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for her, but I had to just hold on to what I decided in fifth grade, that I wouldn't wrestle a girl.
You know, Erica, convictions. Phil Henry Show will be back with more of our NewsHour.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Man.
Welcome back. What are you talking about now?
About what she said.
You guys still want to talk about this Erica Hill. So we're talking here about this wrestler, this kid, Joel Northrup. And so what's the point that I didn't make?
Because she said that it's sexist. Like, what if it was a gay?
Yeah, that's a really good, that's a really good point on it. What if he said, on a religious ground, I won't wrestle a black?
Yeah, it could have been a black man.
Yeah, because of the smell.
Hey, man. You know,
come on, will you shut up, bud?
He's always trying to do that.
You know, we're going to start making some jokes about you and your freaking caved-in head in about 5 seconds.
I don't care.
Yeah, you do.
All right, look. This Ms. Magazine, this was the magazine that got all indignant because he wouldn't wrestle the girl, because he's saying my religion says no. Now, the kid was specific. He said, you know what? She's physically weaker. She's a woman. She also is of a different gender, and she may be compromised physically. There may be some physical contact that is uncomfortable for her, or physical contact that I don't want to have with her. Now, that's not disrespect of her because she's a woman. That's honoring the difference between himself and her in terms of physical strength and in terms of the differences in their bodies. So he's not saying, I don't want to have contact with her because she's dirty and nasty. He's not saying, I don't want to have contact with her because she's inferior and I might come down with a case of a new supersonic kind of cooties, you know?
Supersonic cooties, that'd be the bitchiest thing I ever seen.
Okay.
Yeah, what's that look like, man?
All right, but anyway, he ain't saying any of that. So you missed the boat on that, Ms. Then Ms. Magazine is basically saying, his beliefs translate into a personal conviction that he can't wrestle a female, then why is he wrestling in a state where wrestling is co-ed? Well, that's a stupid statement, because he's mostly going to be wrestling guys. And it's possible that he goes through an entire tournament only wrestling guys. But when he came up against a woman, he decided so that he didn't hurt her and so that he didn't disrespect her. Not because he thinks that she is some odious thing that's going to infect him with a disease or otherwise it's going to rub off on him, her being black or gay. Because as a girl, if you will, he wanted to maintain his beliefs pertaining to the difference in the sexes. That's not a racist or, excuse me, that's not a sexist thing. Any more sexist than a man who opens a door for a woman. Any more sexist than a man who pulls a chair out for a woman. Any more sexist than a guy that opens a car door for a woman. And anybody that thinks that sexist that guys do that, man, you need a whole other freaking planet to live on because you're weird.
I agree with that.
Good. You're just flat weird. And there isn't a woman on earth that doesn't enjoy having that done. You know, I was having dinner once with a woman, and I pulled a chair out for her, and my God, the hostess who brought us to the table, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, she thought I was like the greatest thing that she'd ever seen. Look at, he pulled your chair out. Now, you know, I was raised to do that. I do it, whatever, you know, big deal. I don't do it to get any kind of plaudits. I do it because I feel like a creep. I just feel like a real slob if you don't do some of these things. Anyway, make a long story short, this woman was in her 20s or 30s, the hostess. She was blown away by this. Oh, God, look at it. Well, that's not sexism. That's just we're out on having an evening together. This is a date, and we want to make this a, you know, a pleasant evening. And it ain't a Dutch date, and it's not some, you know, this is a date. And so here we go. You know, this is what happens. Now, and the rest of the world, if they don't do that, I don't care, man. You, are you going to go out with a chick that doesn't like that?
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, I didn't really know, you know, what you do, you know.
What about that door test thing that they don't, you can't do that no more.
You can do the door test, yeah, but you, yeah, the door test, which was made popular in The Bronx Tale, but is something that men have known for decades, the door test, which is simply you pick a girl up, you open the door for her, you lock your side, okay?
Yeah.
You close the door, and then you walk around behind the car, and you look through the rear window. If she reaches over to unlock your side of the car, then she has a magnanimity. She is there's obviously she has an affectionate nature, and likes you. If she sits there and doesn't unlock the door, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to go to bed with her. But in the words of Sonny in Bronx Tale, she's a selfish bitch, and you ought to cut her loose.
Well, I don't know how you do that now.
Well, in the old days, they had those little door buttons you could pull up, but she could reach over and unlatch the. You know, the door that way. How the hell did we get on this?
I don't know, but it's a great story.
It's a great story. Well, in any event, these are the policies. This is the politics of living in the world of men and women. And I don't. Anyway, so co-anchor Erica Hill said, you've worked really hard for this. So Cassie, so she has too. You're both very passionate about your sport. She clearly understands to get to the level that both of you are at, what this sport entails, that there are a lot of rough moments. And she knowing too that you weren't, how do you know? You didn't even talk to her. You weren't going after her as a girl, but as an opponent, being that's okay with, she's okay with it. Why can't you then, in fact, step in the ring with her? He said she deserves to be out there, but I do believe that if she does wrestle, she should wrestle other girls, and I should wrestle other guys. And she says she doesn't have the opportunity, of course, to wrestle only girls. Do you have? Do you feel that you were cheating her out of an opportunity at all? What? You know, when you're trying to find something wrong with a guy, you need to find another occupation, man.
That's what I'm saying.
When you're trying to find a problem with a situation that is very easily explained, you need to find something else to do. Anyway, here is the last little slug here of the interview with Joel Northrup and Erica Hill.
I mean, it's fine. I really don't care what the people say, but there's been some people that are for me and people that are totally against me. But
do you feel that any of those
I knew
labels
what I did was right?
Do you feel that any of those labels fit you?
No,
I don't. I mean, it's people's opinion, but I just had to hold true to my convictions.
You know, Erica, convictions holding true. Well, never mind. All right.
You don't like her, do you?
No, she's fine. She's about as worthwhile as any of them. You know, stupid questions. She's got to fill in 5 minutes. Anyway, good for you, kid. And I don't know whether you've got a career as a wrestler and you don't want to wrestle girls. And I understand that. And when you get to the college level, if you're wrestling girls at that particular point, then there's been a real sea change in the evolution of human beings.
You ever think there'll be women like a football team?
No. Well, yeah, there are women football team.
No, but I mean, you think anybody is going to watch it?
No. No, not in my lifetime.
How come?
Would you watch it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, but that, you said yourself, I'm stupid.
I'm not. No, I didn't say you're stupid. Sometimes you're stupid. I'm just asking, would you watch it, Robert?
If that was the only football to watch.
Yeah, but of course. But if it wasn't the only football to watch, would you watch women playing football?
Not really.
You want to know why? It's not a game that evolved for women. It's a game that came up and was created for and evolved for men. It's a game about the physical attributes of men. It's a game about the testosterone of men. It is strictly a game that addresses the physical reality of men. All of that testosterone and aggression and need for aggressive behavior, that is football, and that's for men. It's not for women. Women trying to play football, I'm sure there's some women that it suits just fine, but it's not a sport. It's not a woman's sport. You know?
Well, what's a woman's sport?
Yeah, well, like ballet?
What do you mean ballet? That ain't a sport.
No, what are you talking about? That's a sport, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not a sport.
Yeah, it is. It's. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Are you guys complete idiots? Do you think that ballet is a sport?
Yeah. If you've seen it on a TV.
What do you mean if I've seen it on TV? I've seen it. Are you talking about like, what are you talking about?
You've never seen them doing ballet.
I've seen ballet. And then I've seen like gymnastics. Are you guys talking about gymnastics?
The one where the lady wears a dress.
That's ballet and that ain't no sport.
Well, what do you call that then?
Oh my God. Wow.
What?
Are you guys stupid? That's called dancing.
No, I know it's dancing. It's just the same way as gymnastics. But ain't that a sport?
No, I don't think. You may think it's an athletic you may think it's an athletic effort to be in the ballet, and I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, it's a hell of a thing to have to. Ballet looks tough, you know.
Yeah,
but it ain't no sport, man. There's nobody out there judging it.
I thought there was.
What? Where?
When we were talking about it, we thought that in a ballet, there's guys that are judging it.
No, man. There's nobody judging it. The only people judging it is the audience going, hey, all right.
Don't they do?
Well, they don't go, hey, all right, but they clap. There's nobody judging how cool the ballet was.
I thought there was. Then I got messed up.
Well, all right, then you owe me $5.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do, because we bet the $5 on what he'd say.
Okay, well, you collect it from him later, all right, because I don't want to talk about it right now. Representative Capuano tells union supporters to get bloody when necessary. He later apologizes. See, here's what I find interesting about some of these gas bag Congress people. This guy is a United States congressman named Michael Capuano. He expressed regret on Wednesday for his choice of words at a Tuesday rally to support Wisconsin workers after national and local Republicans pounced on him for over-the-top and inflammatory rhetoric. But he found his rhetoric and he found his over-the-top kind of conversation, his style, because, hey, baby, it sounds like Tommy Boy. You know, he's going to go in and kick ass and get everybody their job back. During the Tuesday rally to show support for the union protesters, Representative Michael Capuano from Massachusetts told the crowd to get bloody.
I'm proud to be here with people who are willing to stand up. I'm proud to be here with people who understand that it's more than just sending an email that gets you going. Every once in a while, you're going to get out of the streets and get a little bloody when necessary.
You know what kills me? This scumbag, he could take it back if he wants to, but you're willing to get bloody against other Americans, right? Now, trying to get people interested or even excited about going to war against Al-Qaeda, and it's a big, fat conversation about is it worth it and should we do it, but you want to go get bloody against other Americans. That's cowardice at its finest.
What are you talking about cowardice, man? I mean, he's going to go out and kick ass.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's going to go out and kick ass. Anyway, Congressman Mike Capuano must have lost the memo from President Obama and Democratic leaders who are demanding more civility in our political discourse and a toning down of incendiary rhetoric after the massacre in Tucson, said Massachusetts Republican Party in a statement on Wednesday. Yesterday at a rally on Beacon Hill, Capuano couldn't resist the urge to stir up the crowd of union members. And how do you feel if you were in that crowd and you're all cheering and you're feeling good? I don't care what you have to say to me. You're an idiot, okay? And if you were in that crowd that I just heard, you sounded like an idiot. Yeah! You don't have any idea what he's asking. After Republicans took aim at his rhetoric, Capuano issued a statement expressing regret for his language, although at the time it drew wild applause and cheers from the throngs of imbeciles that were there. I strongly believe in standing up for workers' rights, and my passion for preserving those rights may have gotten. You know, I love how these guys apologize, but when they're apologizing, they find a way to make themselves sound so fantastic.
Yeah, that one guy, when he was talking about how he was sorry that he said about that lady getting sexually harassed.
Yeah.
And he's all like, I've stood for my workers' rights and everything.
Well, yeah, he was saying, like, he'd been a pro-female.
Yeah, uh-huh. That Ner Rosen guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a classic example of the non-apology. That guy is he got people more pissed off. The more he talked, the more pissed off people got. He didn't get, just shut up, man. Just shut up, you know? Well, but you don't understand. Of course, I would never in a million years would I ever condone what happened to the Congress or to the reporter. I thought it was terrible. And my entire life, I was trying to make a point, you see, about the word. Shut up! Same thing with you, Capuano. Just say, I'm sorry. What a gutless thing for me to say, let's go out and get bloody against other Americans. When my record in terms of the support on the war on terror, for instance, where we're trying to bloody up the right people, my record is sketchy at best. Where the record of my party is sketchy at best. And yet I stand there and talk about bloodying other Americans. That's the kind of guts I got, which are none. That's what you should have said, man.
Yeah, I agree with you there, man. You know, but that other guy, he just get on and on and on and on and on.
Well, this guy, you know, here he is. I strongly believe in standing up for workers' rights, and my passion for preserving those rights may have gotten the best of me yesterday in an unscripted speech. He said, boy, here's the other thing about these people. Don't give them a script, and they sound like complete jackasses. Don't give them a script. They can't speak off the top of their heads. They cannot extemporaneously talk about anything. They use that as an excuse. This guy that was on Twitter, after he got done basically, condoning sexual assault against women, he said, I forgot that I was on Twitter. I forgot that it was public. I forgot that you can't use 140 words. I forgot. This guy's a professional writer. If I was employing him as a writer and I saw, I'd sit him down and say, now, did you mean all of that? Because if you did, you're fired. I mean, you can't possibly have two brain cells that are connecting with each other. Congressman Capuano hopes at the very least this shooting will get people to tone down. Listen to this. This was his statement after what happened to Gabrielle Giffords. This sack of crap. This is why I don't think that Neil Rosen guy was telling the truth. I don't think this Capuano. I don't take any of these apologies to heart. I think these people are still scumbags. Congressman Capuano hopes at the very least that the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords will get people to tone down the hateful political rhetoric. When any tragedy happens, the natural thing is to look for something good to come out of it, he added. And in this particular one, I hope that's what comes out of it. Toning down the rhetoric, but let's get bloody.
Yeah, bloody him up.
We'll be back with our final segment on the Phil Hendry Show. Did a teacher get her students to beat up a troubled... All right, enough about that garbage. Let's get to some other news here. Give me something, man, that we can work with, all right? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here. I got a panel that I'm going to do. I got invited to do a radio panel, and I don't want to tell you much more than that. Because, frankly, you guys aren't invited to it. It's an industry thing. But I always like to tell you about this. And this was the panel. I believe this is the title of the panel. Is talent necessary anymore in radio? So if they're asking questions like that, we've got big problems. I always like going to these industry things and making people uncomfortable. And I think what happens a lot of times is, is Henry going to be this? Yeah, I ain't going to go, you know. But I would very strongly suggest any broadcasters that are listening, that once you get invited to this event, you'll know what it is, that you attend my panel, because you people really need an education. You know, you really do, man. Before your company's worth a dollar a share, before you're out on your ass, before you're out looking for the next talk show host in a deli or in a courtroom or I don't know where the hell you find these guys. New Zealand earthquake survivor pulled from rubble. Hundreds still missing.
Barney rubble.
From Barney rubble.
Well, that ain't funny at all, man.
Well, Barney was a woman.
You shut up. Rescue workers in New Zealand's... If Barney was a woman.
I just got that.
Rescue workers in New Zealand's earthquake-ravaged city of Christchurch got a rare day of hope Wednesday when they successfully pulled a woman from the rubble more than 24 hours after a 6.3 magnitude shook the city, a 6.3 magnitude tremor. They got the lady out of there on Wednesday. When was the earthquake? On Tuesday? Wow, man, it seemed like it's like more than that. Ann Bodkin, not to be mistaken with Ann Voss, who was also recently rescued after 22 hours. I don't know why she'd be mistaken for Ann Voss, because their last names are different.
Yeah, I don't know why they said that.
This is from ABC News, but ABC News could be the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
What?
It could be the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. I don't know which ABC News this is.
Well, the lady that did it, Akiko Fujita.
That's the Japan Broadcasting.
Why would that be Japan? It says ABC.
Yeah, but she's Japanese.
Okay, well, do you see anything there that says JPC or whatever the hell?
What, JPC?
Yeah, that'd be like, what, the Jap Broadcasting Corporation?
The Jap Broad... Get out of here! You don't ever use those terms. It's ABC. Anyway, they successfully got this lady out of the rubble. Why? Because they didn't give up. Why? Because that's, well, that's the New Zealand spirit. That's right. They did not give up. Out of sight, baby. Out of sight. Every single night on this show, we ask you to march with us. Continue the march. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, as we move straight ahead down the rubble-strewn streets, but still passable streets, of freedom. Oh, I'm sorry. The show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Thank you, and oh, forget it.
Good night, everybody.
Phil Hendry.